You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to your daily markets update for this Monday, the 29th of July. I'm Raina Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. The Australian share market had a strong start to the trading week to be up 0.9%. That's ahead of some key economic data releases over the next few sessions. On the local front, the all-important quarterly inflation figures on Wednesday and retail sales data. That's on top of a chorus of major central bank meetings, including the US Federal Reserve, Bank of England and Bank of Japan. For more on what the market is expecting, I spoke with David Berthon-Jones. He's the Joint Chief Investment Officer at Equitas Investment Partners.
Mostly the American markets that are driving what's happening here for us. We've gotten a bunch of really benign, favourable inflation prints in the US, in the United States. Now, victory over inflation, or at least the strong progress on it, that's very good for markets, as it means that interest rates can come down. Now, the US continues to have strong jobs growth. It's got robust employment growth. And thus far, their reporting season is okay. Corporate profits are still doing relatively well, and that's what's impacting global markets, including our market.
Now, what are the markets factoring in terms of Wednesday CPI numbers, and how could this potentially contribute to short-term volatility?
Markets here are not factoring in a full hike. Now, they might if Wednesday's inflation print comes in much hotter than the 1% on the quarter on quarter. But as it stands, the probability of a hike currently sits below 50-50. And based on the RBA's commentary today, there is a fairly high bar to hike. They don't want to. They don't want to hike unless they feel that their hand is forced. The issue for Australia is that our progress on inflation has been quite a bit worse, much less successful than in other parts of the world, in part because of these expansionary budgets run at both the federal and the state level. So we find ourselves in this slightly strained position of other central banks like the European Central Bank, the RIS Bank, the Bank of Canada. They're all cutting. The US, we think, is preparing to cut. And Australia is still trying to produce a quarterly inflation print that is below one.
Yeah, also in the US, reporting season is in full stride this week. Some big names on the agenda, including Microsoft, Apple, and Facebook owner Meta. What are you expecting from them, and what have you made of the results so far?
Undoubtedly, there's been some mild disappointment, I think, with the results thus far. Tesla, which is part of the Magnificent Seven, and to some investors in the market, it's a tech stock rather than a car company. They've really struggled with sales that were weaker than expected, and there's been a delay or a pushback to the robo-taxi story. There's been this slowdown in the pace of the transition away from ICE engines, internal combustion engines, towards electric vehicles. And those high interest rates are restrictive. They're making car sales, which are a discretionary product, much harder to come by. Google, we noticed it had a great set of numbers overall. Growth was robust. But at the same time, YouTube ad sales moderated. And as you know, advertising is very cyclical. There are these consumers that are struggling with cost of living pressures. That's likely driving a moderation there. In general, though, we think that none of those US tech stock stories, most especially Nvidia, can possibly live up to the hype that's embedded in their valuations, that their earnings, in our view, are going to disappoint the market over time.
The opportunities for investors at the moment?
It's not as easy as it was a year ago. So Goldilocks is now priced into the market. 18 months ago, everyone was bearish. Now, maybe not everyone, but certainly a lot of folk are quite bullish. Equities, in our opinion, do look quite expensive relative to bonds. Property is sitting somewhere in the middle. There are still pockets of value, small caps, small companies, emerging markets, European equities, the S&P equal weight, that's the S&P 500 equal weight as opposed to the cap weighted indices. They all still look okay. They look like quite good value. And of course, when you're getting 4.3% in cash or 4.2% in government bonds, nearly 5.5% to 6% in floating rate credit or investment grade credit, we think all of those are pretty good too. But within equities, for the first time in quite a while, some of the resource stocks are looking good. The terrible economic data in China has seen iron ore drop from $120, $130 a ton down into the low hundreds. We might have flirted very briefly with a 9 handle in front of it, a 90 handle. Copper is off some 20% from the recent peak. That's all weighed on the iron ore giants, the base metal producers. But that's what's creating the more appealing pricing, the better starting point for valuations. The oil price has likewise come down from the high 90s to a range that is still pretty profitable overall for a lot of the oil and gas companies. It's in the sweet spot of not incentivizing too much supply, but it's high enough for everyone to make a good return. The coal companies, which are deeply out of favor, but metallurgical coal prices, which is an ingredient to make steel, like our point on oil, it's still very attractive to a lot of producers. And there's plenty of countries that are still industrializing. We also note that China is cutting interest rates, which will probably do little overall, but it's still helpful to the commodities complex. So we've been upping our allocations there as those stocks and sectors sell off.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.